Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Welcome back to The Last Word. Danny McConnell of the Business Post sitting in for Matt this evening. Now, we're moving on to our Nightmare Commute series. But before I do that, I want to bring you a couple of text messages from listeners on our items before 5 o'clock. In relation to the migrant worker changes or the changes that are going to Cabinet tomorrow, this is the minister playing populist politics, says one listener, and it's an unwelcome shift to the right. We want migrant workers to come here to do the jobs our society depends on. As a Fianna Fáil voter and from a traditional Fianna Fáil family, I'm genuinely disgusted. In terms of the Craig Hughes story, we were talking about GDPR being used as a reason not to track how much money we're spending. GDPR seems to be so misinterpreted, says one listener. I wouldn't be surprised if GDPR has nothing to do with preventing the information from being released. I would be of that view as well. I've seen it in operation and being used not to release information. And another listener says, for crying out loud, not knowing where the money is being spent is the bare minimum we should be expecting from major infrastructure projects. GDPR has been blamed for so much red tape where it may not have any relevance, and I think we will be coming back to that in due course. Now, listeners to the show will know over the last 2 weeks or so, Matt and the team here have been delving into the increased annoyance, frustration and downright anger amongst listeners about the length of their commutes. We've looked at Dublin, we've looked at Cork and we've looked at Galway. Today we're going to look at Waterford and the issues surrounding people commuting in and out of Waterford City there. Now, joining me on the line is Sive O'Neill, a climate and environmental researcher and Irish Times contributor, who wrote a very interesting piece recently. Dunica Mulcahy, a Sinn Féin councillor in Waterford, and Aideen Carrick, president of the Waterford Chamber of Commerce. Good evening to you all. Sive, if I could start with you. You're based in Waterford. How would you describe the current situation for commuters there?
Well, I live in Waterford City and I use my bike and walk everywhere. It's a beautiful city. It's a medieval city founded in the 10th century, and we're bounded by a big river on one side, which is a constraint to some extent. One bridge taking you to the north side and linking up with some big major arteries, road arteries. But also we have a toll bridge, which unfortunately means that it isn't used as much as it could be. So I would say that over the last few years, Waterford, like many other towns in Ireland, has become increasingly choked with cars. Much of that is due to the growth of the city and the increase in car use, while public transport and active travel infrastructure simply hasn't kept pace. So we have 4 bus routes that are not really adequately serving the population. They're not frequent enough. They don't have priority, as in we don't have bus lanes throughout the network. Mm. And there's an awful lot of car parking on footpaths, and a lot of the schools in the city don't have safe access to them for children to walk or cycle. So we have a kind of a vicious cycle of car dependency leading to unhealthy lifestyles, air pollution and all the rest of it. And the only way to tackle it is to tackle the problem, which is a complex problem, in a holistic way, by designing the city around the future growth of the population, designing it around the needs that the people have for mobility, designing it around public transport and active travel. So I don't think just complaining about the traffic is really the right framing. Mm. I think we need to have a much broader discussion of the transport deficits and why we have them. And I made the point in the piece I wrote in today's Irish Times that we voted for this system effectively 10 years ago because that's how long it takes to deliver public transport systems in Ireland.
And you were also making
difficult to turn things around quickly. Yeah.
And you were also making the point that we have the transport system we have because politicians who are in control or in power don't use that public transport. So therefore, if they did, things might change very quickly.
I think so. I think that there's a bit of a windscreen mindset in a lot of the public transport discussions and debate at political level. You don't see many politicians outside of Dublin that really understand the networks of public transport, the services that are there. And I have often heard public representatives talk about the services that they've never used. They don't use it on a daily basis. So they can't put themselves in the shoes of workers waiting for buses that don't show up, or frustration of being stuck in traffic even when you're sitting on a bus, and the challenges that women in particular experience, concerns about their safety, difficulties with buggies, and of course, people with disabilities. There was one story I heard from a colleague today of somebody who regularly has to take their electric wheelchair out onto the road because of the cars parked on the footpath. And that we're letting our people down with that kind of system. It's not working for people with disabilities. They should be the top of the priority list, not at the bottom.
Aideen Carrick, President of the Waterford Chamber of Commerce. Is restricting car access to Waterford City Centre the solution here? Or from your perspective, what needs to be done?
Well, restricting car access, it will be a negative for the retail sector. We hear all the time from both retailers and from shoppers that there is a difficulty getting into the city centre. They want to be able to come in, they want to be able to park conveniently and do their shopping, and the retailers obviously want those shoppers to come in. So our retail offering is definitely suffering from people feeling that it's too difficult to get into town. Some of that can definitely be addressed by better public transport. I believe that Waterford is on the list to get bus connects, but that it has been postponed, and because we're the smallest city, we're getting it last, so that's a problem. You know, people won't change how they commute into the city until the infrastructure is there to facilitate it. So the quicker we can facilitate that, the better, you know. Mm. The council announced recently that they are going to look at park and ride, but they haven't started yet. So again, something that should have been looked at a long time ago, you know, it needs to be expedited.
Aideen, one of our listeners has texted in saying buses are great, but buses need bus lanes that can actually get them somewhere, or they say actually bloody lead somewhere. 200 metres of a bus lane on the bloody quay is a waste of damn time. It doesn't go anywhere. Like, is that a problem? Like, is there even the ability to even create bus lanes in Waterford, given it is a medieval city and streets are quite narrow?
That the caller is absolutely correct. We have a lot of pedestrianisation in the city centre itself, but there are lots and lots of radial streets that the council could consider making some sort of one-way systems to facilitate bus lanes going in one direction and the other. One of our difficulties with the bus routes that we have is that they're kind of loop routes. They're not straight in, straight out. Mm. So if you want to go from A to D, you have to go to B and C first, you know. So instead of doing a 10-minute journey, you're doing a 40-minute journey. I mean, people, that's just not it's not practical for people. There's plenty of solutions. People, we have to be imaginative, and we have to tackle climate change, as Sive has said. And part of that is people accepting that not everything can be done by car, but by the same token, we have to be able to look after people who need to travel by car as well,
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Donegal Mulcahy, Sinn Féin councillor. You're based in Tallow, but you commute into Waterford every day. Just walk us through what your daily experience is like.
Yeah, I suppose I better give you a geographical. I am about 20 minutes to half an hour from four big towns, three of them are in Cork, which would be Youghal, Primoy, Middleton, and then Dungarvan. So for me to leave Tallow to get to Waterford City would take me approximately an hour and 15 minutes. And to be fair, the roads are fairly good all the way through. You'll be passing through Dungarvan and Kilmeade and Leamy Brian, and you'll be heading up that way. The only real congestion you get is when you come in to the city itself. Now, I do feel a lot of traffic would be dodging the toll and heading in around the city as well to stop paying for the toll. Could be an issue as well.
So two of you now have mentioned the toll road, and those of us who are maybe not immediately familiar with the area, talk to me about that toll road. And you're saying it's an active disincentive, so people are naturally avoiding it and going into the city centre?
Yes, I've seen it from both sides. Until last year, I used to work in Cork City, and you see the people will be travelling to veer in off it to avoid paying for the toll. It could be the same situation that we're dealing with here in Waterford. But regards in the west of Waterford, we do have a main bus route running from Tallow to Dungarvan, which is widely used. The biggest issue that we have is the infrastructure for bus stops, where people are finding who'll be going to work, but they're drenched before they even get on the bus. Mm. It is a widely used service. I think our numbers were over 150,000 last year and growing. And now that will be into Dungarvan, and then from Dungarvan you can commute from Waterford City.
And how reliable are those bus services? Because we often hear the cases, not only in Dublin but elsewhere, of buses just not showing up. You know, is the reliability there to encourage people out of their cars?
Yeah, well, the local link from Tallow to Dungarvan would be fairly reliable. In fairness, it is a very well-used route, and a lot of people do commute from Tallow, Lismore and Capoquin, and also Ballyduff has just been added to the route as well. So we're slowly getting there, but rural isolation is a very real issue across West Waterford. It shows itself how difficult it could be for people to get to A to B. For many people, commuting to work already means long journey, early mornings and late evenings. But even when public transport is available, the basic infrastructure that's there that needs to support people properly.
We are getting absolutely loads of messages here in this. One texter says, I live 7 kilometres outside Waterford City and takes me an hour to get into work into the city of town because of this congestion. Another says, issues in Waterford are multiple. Reducing traffic on the key to one lane is crazy. Lights don't stay green long enough to get cars through. Red lights. When my kids tried to take a bus on their way home, a village outside the city, I didn't turn up. And it's not the first time it happened. So I've picked up that point, like that Dunica was talking about, the reliability factor. You know, we know I live in Drumcondra in Dublin, and for me to get out of my car, there has to be an incentive or a decent service that I can use. Is that an issue? Do you accept that is an issue in Waterford?
Oh, shame on you. Drumcondra, you could nearly walk into town.
Oh, well, I do sometimes as well.
Well, first of all, just to say about the quays in Waterford, a huge amount of the actual space on the quays is taken up by car parking. And we have to acknowledge that if we want to prioritise public transport, we're going to have to make space for it. If we want fewer cars to come into the city, we should not be widening roads or making more space available. We actually have to shrink it. So these are very difficult policy and political decisions. But people have to make them. We have to brave them, because the reality is we're going to be continuously choked by traffic. So Waterford is facing growth rates like many other towns in Ireland and in population. We're going to have an increase of, I think, 15, 20% in our population. So in order to, if we continue this kind of predict and provide approach to transport, we'd be knocking down whole streets and buildings to make space for cars. Meanwhile, an awful lot of the cars are just sitting there in storage in car parks. So it's lunacy. It doesn't make sense. And we have the space. It's just how we use it.
Aideen, can I bring Aideen in there? Aideen, would you pick up that point? You know, having cars sitting empty all day, you know, taking up space that could be used elsewhere. Surely that there's some logic in that argument, no?
There is absolutely some logic in that. And Waterford has a particular difficult history in that we don't have many of the sorts of parking facilities that you have in Dublin city centre, you know, the multi-stories and that. We just don't have those. So we have this surface car parking on the quay. It takes up huge acreage, which could be put to better use. We need to provide something that will facilitate people getting into town. At the moment, we have a single bridge into the city, and that bridge can be lifted during the day to allow boats go up the river. So sometimes you can't even get in. You know, the toll bridge that was mentioned earlier is on the outskirts of Waterford, and it's really a bypass. It's not to get into town. So people use it to get to the industrial estates, working commuters do, but even there at busy times, you can be stuck in traffic for half an hour as well, because the ring road is a series of roundabouts that choke each other up. It ends up in gridlock. The solution to our congestion here in Waterford is multifactorial, and we do have a new sustainable transport bridge that is due to be opened next year. So we look forward to that. That will facilitate walking and cycling from the new railway station. But, you know, the Chamber is lobbying for lots of things like increased rail connectivity as well, you know, because Waterford as a region is underserved by public transport as a whole.
Donacha, let me bring you in here finally. Where does the council sit, and what's the reaction you're getting from not just, I suppose, the Lord Mayor, etc., but the executive? I mean, what are they telling you in response to this? I suppose that these are not unique problems to Waterford, but I suppose you know every city across Ireland is now feeling that pain with more and more people going back to work. But what's the response you're getting back from the executive?
Yeah, first of all, I'm no stranger to public transport. I use it quite regularly in my own neck of the woods, but in around Waterford City, I'd be quite green to it. If I was trying to Waterford City, I'd be trying to get in as close as possible to the city. There is a lot of great plans for active travel. At the moment, they're planning more on infrastructure when it comes to bus stops, more so than shelters, and then rolling on the shelters and everything else in between afterwards. We need a real practical solution, more bus shelters, better rural transport links and proper investment that recognise the reality that we have here in rural Ireland. Rural people aren't looking for special treatment, they're just looking for fair treatment. And that's coming from somebody who will be from the rural neck of the woods, more so than Waterford City itself.
Well, the texts, as I said, are flooding in. Another one that says, the toll bridge in Waterford is too expensive. If this was cheaper, then the quay wouldn't be constantly clogged by cars. Another one says, the first train arrives into Waterford at 10 a.m, a massive issue. And the ring road was made to get traffic out around the city, but now it's bottlenecked due to the decisions of housing estates directly onto it. We're out of time, unfortunately. I could have gone on for an awful lot longer, but to Saive O'Neill, Donacha Mulcahy and Nadine Carrick, thank you all very much for joining us here on The Last Word.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.